the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be ever acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
For this past month, we've been hearing in the gospel passages about the beginning of Jesus' ministry. His baptism by John, his first sign at the wedding feast at Cana, and for these past 2 weeks, his proclaiming the coming of the kingdom of God in his hometown synagogue. This Sunday, in the gospel passage, we fast forward 3 years to the end of Jesus' ministry. He's leaving Galilee, traveling south through Samaria to Jerusalem, to his crucifixion and to his death. And these intervening 3 years have been quite a busy one for Jesus. In fact, quite an exhausting one. Everywhere he goes, he cannot escape from people. They crowd around him and they beg him to heal them, to feed them, to cast out demons. On one side of him, he has the Pharisees who are always there to debate him and to challenge him. And on the other side of him, he has his disciples who are oblivious. They just cannot understand what his parables are about. They can't understand what his mission and his purpose is all about. Jesus is tired. He's probably burnt out after these long 3 years. And understandably, he might be a little bit anxious about what is in store for him when he gets to Jerusalem. So Jesus goes to this mountain to pray. And really, he goes to get a pep talk from his father, who sends him Moses and Elijah to comfort him and to reassure him about the things that are to come in Jerusalem. This is what the mountaintop experience is for Jesus. It is an opportunity to be comforted and to be reassured and to be given strength so that he can continue on his way. Strength to continue on his way down into the world, to continue to meet people, to continue to meet their needs, and to continue to meet their brokenness. Strength to continue his mission of bringing healing into this world. The gospel writer has this wonderful story that when Jesus descends the mountain, immediately there's a crowd waiting for him. And a man there waiting for him saying, "Teacher, come and heal my son." It's almost as if the gospel writer is trying to hammer home the point that Jesus' mountaintop experience of renewal and restoration was so that he could come down and heal that which is sick and to face off against the forces of sin and death. Now, we all have mountaintop experiences in our life. A mountaintop experience can be any experience of transcendence, something that lifts us up and makes us aware of God's presence in our lives and God's love for us. The American sociologist Peter Berger writes quite a deal about transcendence and notes that it can happen in many different venues and often unexpectedly. He gives a wonderful example of listening to a Bach cantata. The music, which is so exquisite, lifts the listener up. And for a brief moment, we become aware of a reality more glorious than the reality that we live day to day. That's what transcendence is. That's a mountaintop experience that feeds our soul. For some people, mountaintop experiences happen out in nature, walking on a beach, picking up seashells, or maybe watching a beautiful sunset. For some people, it comes when they exercise. Marathon runners get that runner's high. It's a moment of transcendence when you feel connected to something much greater than yourself. Could be when you're out cycling or hiking or literally climbing a mountain. You can get these moments of transcendence. And for us here in this church, probably, Mountaintop experiences can happen here, in worship on Sunday. And if you think about it, why not? Here in this place is where we hear the Word of God proclaimed. It's here that we're immersed in beautiful music, surrounded and uplifted, and we are gathered in prayer as the people of God, blessed and consecrated. The thing about these mountaintop experiences, though, by definition, they're temporary, they're transitory. And like Peter, we may desperately want to stay in these places, desperately want to build a structure to contain and capture that glory and that beautiful comfort and peace and feelings of fulfillment that we get in our mountaintop experiences. But that's not what they're for. And especially this place, the church. The church is not a place, an end in and of itself. It is a means to something greater. We come here not to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, but so that we can get something, some grace, some strength, to go back out the doors, to meet the people of God, and to meet what is broken in the world, and to try to heal it. In writing this sermon, I did a lot of discernment about whether wanting to stay here within a church building and to capture that mountaintop experience had in any way a role to play in me wanting to become a priest. I think after a lot of sermons, the answer is no. At least I'm 95% sure that I didn't become a priest because I just wanted to be here. But there is something about wanting to come back to church Sunday after Sunday. And I realized that it speaks to a great need in my soul for strength. It might be a strength that I never achieved, that I never attained totally, but I desperately need it. And I come back time and time again to this place to get that strength, to get that blessing. There are many prayers and many scriptures that inform me that why I'm here is to get and receive strength and blessing so that I can leave from this place. One of my favorite, we're going to hear today in our Eucharistic prayer. Libby will pray on our behalf that God deliver us from the presumption that we come to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Deliver us from the presumption that we come here for our mountaintop experience and that we don't grow from it, that we're not transfigured and transformed by it, to receive strength, to receive renewal, to do God's work in the world. Mm-hmm. Now, if we do that, if we truly are transformed inside, the transfiguration, the transformation won't stay here. When we go out through those doors, when we serve as the hands and feet of Christ, as the face and heart of our Lord, we can transfigure the world. Absolutely. We can bring the transfiguration from this mountaintop experience to all the valleys in the world that need transformation. The next time I see all of you, it's going to be Lent. It's coming fast and furious, right down, 3 days away. During Lent, a lot of people take on some sort of new practice. They might give up chocolate or coffee, all those wonderful little vices. Sometimes people take on a new practice. This is my invitation to you for Lent. 2 points. One, become aware, really attuned, intentionally attuned, to how you are being fed, how the grace of God is filling you up, lifting you up. What is it about this place that is a mountaintop experience for you? Or if not this place, out there on the beaches, out there in the mountains, what is it that is lifting you up, that God is present to give you strength and renewal? And two, how are you being moved as a Christian of mission to share that, to lift up others out there in the world? Now, this can be very big, so I'm going to give you some very explicit instructions. On Sundays, be aware of what's going on here in this space and how you're being fed. And when you go out those doors after your Sunday service, ask yourself, how can I make a difference in someone's life today? It could be very small. Maybe being more loving or forgiving to your spouse or children than you might otherwise be. Giving someone a hug or a kind word when they need it. Could be visiting a friend that you haven't seen in a long time. There are many friends here at St. Mary's who can't make it here on Sundays. And I think they would love for someone to drop in. If you know someone who isn't here, bring the light of Christ to them. How are we being motivated as missional people, as transfigured people, to transform and transfigure the world around us? Amen.